Hello, everybody. I'm here in the 13th annual Running of the Geeks. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's kind of like the Running of the Bulls. But this is how it works. We're running down this venue, and there's this line with tons of people. We're all standing around waiting for the horn to go off. When we go to the end of the venue, it's a data center, so we're all trying to get there first and see how this works. I'm really excited. There's a ton of us here, and I really don't know how this is going to play out. So, all right, any second now, we're going to hear that horn. And when we do, we're going to just bolt out of here. Let's see. Oh, I gotta go. Oh, man, this is cool. Oh, I can't fall. Oh.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Geek!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for September 18th, 2006. Any resemblance between Technorama and people living or dead is a shame.
Damn right.
If this is your first time joining us, then welcome to the show. Hope you stick around. Hope you listen to the whole thing this time. If you're a returning listener...
Welcome
back.
You looking for an insult?
I am one Chuck Tomasi, and over there is another one. Oh, wait, that's a reflection. It's the co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, man. Man, it's been a whirlwind week.
Will, you want to get into that later?
Nah, maybe.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's over. I'm ready to move on.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got, looks like the hard drive turns 50 years old. We've got a word from Clinton over at Comedy Forecast. And we've got lots of good stuff in the Geek Library. Most of tonight's show is user-contributed.
Yeah.
That means we hardly did anything. Stick around, we'll be back on the other side of On This Day in Tech History.
They don't even know this, Chuck.
On this day in tech history for September 18th, 2006. This is September 18th. It's the 261st day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 104 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1502 that Christopher Columbus lands at Costa Rica on his fourth and final voyage. And a horse beats the first U.S.-made locomotive near Baltimore on this date in 1830. The New York Daily Times, which will become the New York Times, begins publishing on this date in 1851. And it was on this date in 1882 that the Pacific Stock Exchange opens as the local security board. D.D. Palmer gives the first chiropractic adjustment on this date in 1895, initiating the healthcare profession of chiropractic. And it was on this date in 1927 that Columbia Broadcasting System goes on the air. Yeah, CBS. The other CBS, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is authorized on this date in 1942. And 47 years ago today, Vanguard 3 is launched into Earth orbit. The U.S. spacecraft Voyager 1 takes the first space photograph of Earth and Moon together on this date in 1977. And on this date in 1980, Soyuz 38 carries two cosmonauts to Salyut 6 space station. U.S. President Ronald Reagan announces the joint destruction of nuclear warheads by USA and USSR on this date in 1987. And on this date in 1997, U.S. media magnate Ted Turner donates $1 billion U.S. dollars to the United Nations. ICANN is formed just 8 years ago today. And on this date in 2006, hey, wait a minute, that's today, the CW television network launches. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Adrienne Marie Legendre, the French mathematician, and French physicist Léon Foucault was born on this date in 1819. Anthropologist Clark Whistler was born on this date in 1870. Also born on this date in 1932, Russian cosmonaut Nikolai Rukavishnikov. American astronaut Charles L. Veach turned 62 today. And it must be astronaut birthday day today because Japanese astronaut Takao Doi turns 52 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for September 18th, 2006.
I'm Patrick Norton from DL.TV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome back. You know, I couldn't help but thinking in that, was it the Voyager 1? Took the first picture. Where is it? U.S. Voyager 1 takes the first space photograph of Earth and Moon together. Okay, you stand over there, and you two get a little closer together, and say cheese. Oh, wait, the moon wouldn't have to say cheese, would it?
Wipe that smirk off your face.
Earth, you are simply glowing.
The sun's in the way. Hold on, sun's in the way.
Yeah, don't take a picture into the sun. Make sure the sun's behind you in all pictures.
That's right.
Oh, so many things to think about when you take pictures, isn't there?
Yeah, no.
I'm sure they didn't
way too much
that on the Voyager.
Yeah.
All right, we do have a little bit of listener feedback.
Do we now?
Do we do? We have one from Tim in Australia regarding our Bob Lettenberger interview.
Yeah, do we, do we, do we, do.
Do we? Wasn't he on Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, do we? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's go with this.
DeVale! DeVale is here! Ooh!
Tim in Australia, regarding the Bob Lettenberger interview. That was the one with the Railroad Museum guy. He says, "Hi, Chuck. I just finished listening to your fantastically interesting interview with Bob Lettenberger from the U.S. National Railroad Museum." He put the U.S. in parentheses because there are probably other national railroad museums out there.
Oh, yeah.
"A really geeky look at a fascinating topic. A great way to unwind on my Friday afternoon drive home. In regards to the physics involved in trains and the technological gadgetry that finds its way onto heavy rail in these modern times, I have attached a PDF report of a real-life accident report from the ATSB, the Australian Transportation Safety Bureau." That's like the NTSB, only down under.
Right. Uh-huh.
And there are a couple links that we will include in the show notes. It was also lots of longer email on there, but I wanted to get the important parts in there. One, he likes our show. It was a good interview, and the links. And it's been a light week for email and voicemail. So
wait a minute. I thought you said this was a user-contributed show.
It is. Darn near all the links in this show were contributed by Bruce Barr, Michelle Cook-Lopez, Mark Shepard, and pardon me if I forgot everybody else. I think Douglas Welch has a link in here, a link or two.
Douglas Welch?
Douglas E. Welch.
Okay.
You know, I was listening to Slacker Astronomy, and they said, "Joining us is Doug Welch." And I went, No. It wasn't him. It was actually a scientist.
He ain't that smart. He's good, but he ain't that smart.
Easy.
Hey, just think. In about a week and a half, we're going to be at the Partibopedia Expo thing.
Glad you know where you're going. Guy's going to wind up in Poughkeepsie or something.
Ontario, Canada. Anyway, we're going to be at the podcast and Portable Media Expo, so we'll have a live Technorama, I'm sure, and probably some other things in the feed. I have no idea.
Probably a live Technorama, a live Winging It, a live Dr. Floyd, a live... the whole place is alive.
I'm booked.
I was just checking to see if...
We'll be dead when we get back.
Yeah, probably. Just checking to see if Douglas is in the chat room. We've got ASCII Adams, Country Signs, Captain Rootbeer, Digital Dan, iNorb, Mad Marv, Mark Shepard, Runtime, Tim Elliott, and... Should we play it again?
Yeah.
All right. I think I still have it here. Here it is. Speak to me. Gosh dang, this thing.
Well, it would have been great if it was on time.
Zahadoom.
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 Zahadoom. Zahadoom.
Zahadoom.
I think you went a little overboard on that one.
Chuck.
Yes?
You know, comedy is all in the timing.
Cadence, man, cadence.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the chat room, I do want to bring up that since we used Freenode, that Rob Levin, one of the heads of Freenode, died this last week.
Yeah,
is one of the founders and the head. I'm not exactly his position. He's the founder of it rather. He had died this last week due to injuries. He was riding his bike and he was hit by a car, which is horrible. Really horrible. I hate to hear that, but we use Freenode extensively, and a lot of other people do, and I just want to offer my condolences to his family.
Yep, prayers are with him. Also want to give a look at the birthday calendar. There it is.
What was that?
Happy birthday. What was the birthday calendar?
Okay.
Happy birthday to Jeff Schultz, a.k.a. Gorbash.
Gorbash doesn't like cats. They give him gas.
His birthday is on the 18th, which is today, if you go by the date on the show. And Dean Jensen, a.k.a. Beaker One, whose birthday is on the 21st. Happy birthday to both of you.
Yeah, happy birthday, guys.
If you want to be on the Technorama birthday calendar, go to the wiki, wiki.truckchat.com. Look for the fun and games section. You'll see the listener birthday calendar there. Create yourself a login. It's quick, free, and easy.
Wiki it up, buddies.
And if you happen to be around on Sunday nights,
well, I'm sharp tonight.
In the chat. Wiki up.
Wiki up, boys.
I think with that, we're going to take a little break.
Yeah, we need it. Oh, it works. Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
Hi, this is Matt Welsh from Harvard University, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama.
That was Matt Welsh from Harvard. He's the computer scientist guy that we had on the interview,
right.
The volcano sensor guy thing.
Well, we're moving up, man.
And
we're
co-author.
Harvard.
Well, yeah, I'll say I'm from Harvard.
I wonder if some of that rubs off.
A little bit of news tonight.
Do I get a PhD just for knowing him?
I'll think of something funny that PhD stands for. Just don't have it right now. The only thing that comes to mind is prehistoric dinosaur, but
no, I don't have one of those either.
Maybe the chat room people will tell us
what
PhD stands for your case.
Yeah. Pretty hip, dude.
Pretty high dementia. In other news, The hard drive turns 50 years old. Today, the hard drive is found everywhere, from PCs we use daily to MP3 players and memory keys so small you can toss them in your pocket and forget you're carrying around a hard drive. But when the hard drive was first introduced on September 13th, 1956...
Wow,
that's right after my parents were born.
My parents
were married. Get that straight.
Wait a minute.
Okay. It required a humongous housing and 50 24-inch platters to store one 2400th as much data as you can fit on today's largest capacity 1-inch hard drives.
Wow, it was like hit the letter A.
24 inches. Hang on. How big is this one I've got right here? It's about the size of a large pizza if you look on the webcam. I have a large hard drive platter turned into a clock.
Hey, allow me to pull up chuckchat.com/webcam and take a look.
You better hurry. Here, I'll put the picture thingy on pause.
So you can look.
They like that? That's a hard drive platter. Also, in other news, NASA has a new orbiter at Mars. Did you throw this in or did I?
Yes, I did. You know, they launched it, 6-8 months ago? Let me go pull it up. And it turns out that it's in synchronous orbit around Mars, and it's taking some excellent pictures. Apparently, this is the most sensitive information. This is where all our secrets are at.
Terrible. Yeah, it's on Yahoo. It's so sensitive.
The most sensitive sensors and camera arrays that we've ever sent to Mars. So it's supposed to take pictures of, like, we've talked about this a long time ago. I remember the article stating that they would be able to identify a picnic table from, you know, so far away. The kind of resolution they're talking about on this camera, be able to see the picnic table in detail. And anyway, it's there. Let's see, the Mars orbiter, fighters, thrusters, da 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 da. I don't see.
Over the next several months, the orbiter will deploy its 33-foot antenna and remove a lens cap from one of its instruments. It will begin collecting data in November, and scientists expect the resolution of those images to be 9 times higher. Higher than what?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Than previously.
Okay. Gotcha.
That means when they, by the time they sent like a 1-megapixel camera, and that's all they got.
640 by 480.
Previously, it was a 1-megapixel. Now we got 3.
Well, you know, if it takes them 2 years to get there, maybe that's all they can afford.
Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the pictures we get back from that. Maybe. And then figure out what happened to the beagle.
They're going to be able to see the nasal hair in the great face on Mars.
Yeah. Look, they're massing their troops.
Three,
oh, my God.
Stories. You walked
they're
all over
their
the
troops.
Segment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
In Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got a floppy drive connector that you can use as an MMC card slot. Did you know the old floppy drive connectors, the edge connector, the black part, can actually is pinned out just right that you can use it as an MMC slot?
Well, I didn't know that until I saw this, and I was like, really? I didn't realize that that they actually lined up perfectly.
That's pretty wild.
Now I'm thinking, what do I do with all those cables I used to have?
Exactly.
But what's cool is the WRT-54G has the pinouts on here, because I know that there's some units out there that do have a card slot. You can actually use this, and that's what this hack is all about, is to use this floppy connector to wire up yourself a card slot for, say, your WRT-54G. Because if you install the DDWRT or like the OpenWRT firmwares, there's some options in there that talk about the card slot. I'm like, well, I don't have a stupid card slot. But this is how you would do that. Actually, on the circuit board, there's the places for it. And you can see there's only like, 8 pins or something like that. And just 8 places to actually solder this onto the board. And voila, you have card slot. Which is kind of neat.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure that is intended to give yourself more memory, or perhaps put the firmware on it, so you just boot up on it. That way you don't run the chance of bricking your router.
Bricking?
It is now. Let's go Google something. Anyway, so you know what I'm saying. That way you can put the firmware on that without trying to burn your firmware.
Right, right.
And then screw up your router. How's that? Is that better? Screwing? Is that verb too?
That's a verb.
I guess it is. Okay.
So. This is a G-rated show, so we'll leave it at that.
It could be screwed and become an adjective.
Douglas E. Welch has also sent us a link to how to work out and charge your cell phone. 19-year-old Pankaj Sharma from India has invented a pair of shoes that can charge your cell phone while you are on the move, literally. By simply walking, your cell phone can be charged within an hour's time. The way it works is pretty simple. A dynamo is attached to the shoe, which converts the mechanical energy generated by the act of walking into electrical energy. A bridge rectifier converts the AC current into DC current, producing 5 to 6 volts of electricity for charging your phone.
See, they don't take into account that all your center of gravity is going to change because of the weight you lose, and you're going to end up falling and not be able to walk for a few days.
You are way overthinking this.
It's too much like work.
Next story.
Yeah, it looks like this is a cool hack, and I put this in the Hack and Strange Stories because I thought it was cool. The FX channel plans to combat TiVo's ability to skip channels with a special type of commercial. The commercial itself is a static image for 30 seconds. So when you flip through, fast forward through your commercials, you're going to see the static image for a little bit.
It's the Hypnotoad.
But isn't that cool? I was like, I'm giving them kudos because that's an interesting way to overcome the shortcomings for them, of course, for skipping commercials. I thought it was thinking out of the box. I thought it was a really creative way to get over that.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Who wants to see commercials, but I think it's kind of cool. Somebody probably was like, duh, what we should do, you know, and they sell an ad for a static picture, you know, up there. So when you skip through, of course, you only see 15 seconds of the static commercial. Because you're skipping it.
Okay, let's move on to the Xbox 360 laptop.
Yes, you can go look, and it's just like some of the other units we've talked about. I think it was like the Atari handheld that this guy's made, and what's the other one? The handheld Nintendo. You can go look at this. This guy made a laptop of a 360, got Xbox 360. It's got a LCD screen with a keyboard, the whole works, wireless controllers. He did an awesome job, and it's water-cooled.
The keyboard kind of looks like it sucks, but...
Well, yes, it looks like one of those keyboards with the square keys that are spaced out.
They're actually very
circular. Like a TRS-80 type thing. Well, yeah, I mean, they're spaced out like buttons instead of just keyboard keys. But it's pretty cool. I give him kudos for cramming all that stuff into a box you can just carry around.
Looks pretty
and make slick. It look professional. It looks like a professional unit, though.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with...
Wait a minute.
Yeah, what?
Do you not agree with me?
I agree. It looks cool. It's just I'm not keen on the keyboard.
No, but we don't have one either.
And if it's water-cooled, how portable is that? It's supposed to be a laptop.
I can carry water in a glass. It's pretty portable.
I don't know.
There you go. I think this is portable.
Let's take our break, and then you can stop carrying your water.
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
Netscapades on ice. Come see Matthew Willington perform the interpretive dance set to ice of the .com boom and burst on ice. See Microsoft, Amazon, and Netscape battle it out for their piece of the pie. Netscapades on ice. Watch CEOs vying for a new part of this new frontier. Netscapades. Coming to the Hallmark Union Square, November 13th. It's an experience you'll never forget. On ice.
Well,
This is Douglas E. Welch of Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And Technorama remembers a few other things. One of them was inspired by a link sent to me this week. Another one from myextralife.com.
And hey, after you see this, how can you forget?
We have to have a caveat. There's one in the show notes, but if you go there, this is a graphic picture. Apparently a mouse crawled into somebody's computer and died, and it's like stuck to the chassis, still there.
Yeah.
It's not a pleasant picture, so if you've got a weak stomach, stay away. But if you're like us, just
go
all about
it.
Gross things. It reminded me of one of the incidents, one of the comments in there is, how to get in there? Like, you know those little peripheral edge connectors? You're supposed to keep the little silver plates in place when a card is not in there?
Blanks.
A lot of people leave those blanks out. Mice are very good at crawling into small spaces. If not there, it probably crawled in some other way. When I was working at Computerland back in the day, some 20-odd years ago, as a service technician, we had a service call. This is why it's in the Remember When section, because it was 20 years ago for me.
Remember when?
We had a service call, and somebody said their computer was acting funny and rebooting at strange times. This was a full-size PC case, and you remember the full-size floppy drives and the door that flipped up?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had to repair one of those and noticed that it was kind of stinky inside, so when we took the chassis off,
hey, what's the smell?
There between, I think it was the full-length parallel port card and the full-length RAM upgrade card, was this
serial card.
Nest. It was a mouse nest. A mouse had gone in there, and they love those warm spaces. And apparently it had, you know, done its normal biological duties all over the motherboard, which started causing it to go nuts.
No pun intended there. Duties
on the motherboard.
Yeah, you know, I've seen enough stuff like that. If you look in the comments on that site on My Extra Life, you look at the comments. The guy there's somebody going, "I'm not sure about this." I was like, "Dude, I've seen enough crap in a computer case to find that very believable."
Oh yeah. It's kind of cool.
There's been one time, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but I took the cover off, and similar to what you found, I was like, what is all this stuff? I'm starting brushing it out with my hand. I'm like,
ew!
It was like rat crap. It's like, oh man.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and it urinated in there too. It was horrible. And so when I saw that, I was like, I could totally believe that.
All right. Hey, look, it's the Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast. I'm not sure if you noticed, but back on September 8th, Star Trek celebrated its 40th anniversary. Can you imagine that? 40 years. I love the original Star Trek. And think of all the things that were on Star Trek first and then became part of everyday life. Give me a minute. Miniskirts. No, wait, they already had those when the show came out. I'm sure I can come up with... Oh, they came up with a new way to deliver a dramatic piece of dialogue. But you know what's really freaky? They came up with cell phones. In fact, they had two different kinds of cell phones. First, you had the tiny Bluetooth headset that Uhura put in her ear. Well, tiny is relative. The thing stuck out so far that by the end of the series, she had to put on an orange caution flag. McCoy kept coming onto the bridge and bumping into it. Ah! Damn it, Jim! I'm a doctor, not a crash test dummy! But what really creeped me out about that thing was when someone else would sit at Uhura's station and put it in their ear. Ew! Don't do that! That's been in someone else's ear. Ugh. Meanwhile, the rest of the crew was part of some corporate rate plan because they all had the same communicator cell phone. You have to figure that thing was pretty complicated, too, because no one seemed to be able to figure out how to download a new ringtone. They all had that same sound, you know, like someone had just stepped on a box of crickets. Wouldn't you think that Kirk's phone would play Wild Thing or something by Tom Jones? And what was the one thing those communicators didn't have? Cameras. Well, they did at first until Chekhov ruined it for everyone. Hey, Sulu, check this out. I've got this crazy video of those aliens turning Yeoman Rand into a hamster. When I get to a hotspot, I am absolutely posting this on Federation YouTube. After that, if you wanted video, you know what you had to do? You had to lug around that nightmare of ergonomic design, that mini suitcase of the 24th century, the tricorder. Oh, I do not think I want the tricorder, Captain. Oh, it doesn't even have a 16x9 widescreen or surround sound. Fine, Scotty. If you don't want to carry it, I'll give it to Spock. At least he'll watch something educational on it, instead of playing those mind-numbing video games. Yeah, that's it. Essentially, the tricorder was the world's first Game Boy. See? Another innovation. And that's a perfect way to wrap up episode 80. Oh, and that's one more thing about Star Trek. You know when someone makes fun of Trekkies or Trekkers, they always have them say the same sort of thing? In episode 16, when the Enterprise fired photon torpedoes, the delay between bursts was clearly inconsistent with standards as defined in the Starfleet technical manuals. The fact is, Trek fans don't refer to shows by episode number. They use actual episode names. You know who uses episode numbers? Podcasters and podcast listeners. So remember, we're all part of the same connected universe. And when things get tough, and you may go up in the biggest ball of fire since the last sun exploded in these parts, but you've got to take that 1 in 10,000 chance. Never give up. Never surrender. Oops. Wrong universe. Happy 40th Star Trek. Live long and prosper.
Bye-bye.
Spock.
Thank you, Clinton, for allowing us to use that.
Yes, you can find Clinton over at comedy4cast.com. And yes, thank you very much for letting us use that. I heard that and I about fell out of my car. I was driving.
That was a great spin on making fun of the old Star Trek stuff.
Especially when he brought up the Bluetooth thing with in Aurora's ear.
I am so uploading this to Federation YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But yeah, speaking of Star Trek, I wanted to play that because we had talked about, or at least I had talked about, working up to the new Star Trek that came out Saturday. I watched it. It was awesome. Actually, to be honest with you, all the effects were very small. I couldn't really tell. I had to flip through.
Really?
I had to flip through it some just to make sure that that was the case. And when I saw, let's see, it was the episode, what did I say? I mentioned it earlier, Balance of Terror. And it's about the Romulan, you know, that have the cloaking device and they're trying to track it down. Well, there was one scene where they're looking at the viewer and my wife was like waiting while I flipped through to make sure it was the right one. And I was like, oh, there you go. Look at the viewer. And she's like, yeah. I said, there's no way they could have made it look that cool in the 60s. She's like, okay. Anyway, the Romulan ship looked a little bit better. It looked more real. The Enterprise is cool. When they were shooting the proximity phasers, it looked almost like photons. And I read an article about that. But anyway, it's not phasers per se, but they're like little bursts. And when they shot out of the ship, you could see their reflection on the hull, the light from it. So I was like, yeah, this is cool. You know, it really looked about the same. However, it's just a little bit enhanced. It's very slight. And it was really cool to see. So
I got to find that show.
Go search BitTorrents. I'm sure you'll find it.
Hey, before the show, I was listening to part of our Adam Savage interview from about a year ago.
Yeah.
And
you're laughing at us?
I forgot we asked half that stuff. It was amazing. We gave him a quiz at the end about...
We did a good job.
Oh, that was fun.
Did a great job, Chuck.
Great job with scripting it, too.
And you're supposed to rub my back, too.
I did. You did a great job.
Thank you, Chuck.
Well, Michelle Lopez also sent us a link to behind the story, behind the scenes, what's it called? The behind the scenes of Mythbusters. Just a mm-hmm. little bit of history about how Adam and Jamie got together and how they got the show started and things they get up to. It's really an interesting read.
And you can listen to that interview to catch a lot of that as well.
It's still available on the interviews link at Technorama. We have them all there. It's quite a collection. In fact, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be releasing another interview, the one I did with...
Wait, another?
Another interview.
Dare you say another?
Yes, this one is a family friend of mine from NASA, or who used to work at NASA.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing this. I have not heard it yet.
It's not quite as long as the other ones. I think it came out to be about 28 minutes, but mm-hmm. still a very interesting conversation.
Well, you could change the pitch and stretch it out to at least 34.
So, tell me about your career. Whoa.
We don't need sound effects.
I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up here.
What's that effects right. menu in Audacity for? We never use that.
Nah. Anyway.
I also have another one coming up, working on one in about 2-3 weeks for the guy who does GTD Gmail, the plugin for Firefox to help you get your join the getting things done methodology with Gmail. So I installed it, and I have to play with it, and then I'm going to get in touch with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I installed it. They had a version out. For some reason, they took it off, and then they came out with the newer one they have.
Yep.
And I installed it, and I was blown away. I liked it. It put extra links in there to help sort your mail and kind of work a GTD system in your Gmail. It was cool.
For those who don't know, GTD stands for Getting Things Done. It's a program that was developed by a man by the name of David Allen. You can find him at davidco.com.
Yeah, GTD is not something you catch on public toilet seats.
And you provided us a link. Yes, thank you. That one almost got by me because I moved on to the next link.
Oh, you're trying to tell me something?
Horton anyway. Here's a Who images.
Yeah, wow. Dr. Seuss. Yeah, Dr. Seuss book, Horton Here's a Who, is turning into a computer animated film. Unlike the live action ones that were that great. I didn't like either one of them, really. You know, Cat in the Hat or The Grinch. But this is really cool. It looks like it's hand-drawn to a point, but it's computer animated. So, you know, the characters have fur and stuff, and they look cool. And at the same time, it looks kind of animated in the style of Dr. Seuss. So you can go see. There's a couple of pictures there, and check it out.
I wonder who they're going to get to do the voice. Because there's a certain Horton voice you have to have.
Steve Carell, I hope I'm saying his name right, from The Office and whatnot, the 40-year-old virgin, he's in it, and Jim Carrey as well.
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant, and Elephant's Faithful 100%.
Very good.
Thank you. I'll work on that one.
You drive around town. Just like but I drive around going.
That was actually from Horton Lays an Egg. Horton
and I, hatches yeah, an egg. That's right. And I drive around town going, "Hey, rookie, watch me pull a ribbon out of the mitt."
And the cops pull you over for illegal impersonations.
Hello, officer. Hello, officer.
One more quick break, then we'll head into the geek library. How to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg, and then they send it, and then once it got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 pigeons per minute. Yeah.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig. Podcast User Magazine, the premier magazine for podcasters, podcast listeners, musicians, and even business people.
Inside each fully packed monthly issue, you'll find hardware, software, and book reviews, ideas on building an audience, generating revenue, podcast reviews, and answers to questions from the experts who have been at podcasting from the beginning. Find out more at podcastusermagazine.com.
Oh my God, they grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
I lied. We're not going to the Geek Library quite yet. We have one more article to cover. This is a model...
I knew I couldn't trust you, Chuck.
Thanks. That's why we get along so well on this show. This is a series of pictures Mark Shepard had sent. See, more listener contributions. We really didn't have to do a heck of a lot on this show. This is a Model C-17, the big cargo-carrying plane. It's a 1/9 scale radio-controlled C-17 model that was built in the United Kingdom. To date, it has about 20 flights. It was built as a centerpiece of a 15-program television series produced in the UK for the Home and Leisure Satellite TV channel. Or did they say leisure? I can't remember now.
Leisure.
Maybe it depends on what part of the UK you're in. Built with the aid of three friends, it took 1 year to build and is powered by four JetCat P120 turbines with a total thrust of 108 pounds. The model's weight is over 250 pounds, fueled, and carries 12.5 liters, that's about 3.3 US gallons, of 95% kerosene and 5% turbine oil fuel. Holy catfish, man, this thing is huge. Hey.
And what's cool is when you look at the first couple pictures,
yeah,
it looks like
a normal plane.
It looks like you're just looking at a plane taking off or flying, and then you see it land. And I was like, oh, and the guys are standing around, and I was like, dude, that's awesome. It's like that. I think I saw it on YouTube a long time ago, and I think we even talked about
jet
it here.
Fighter?
It was a jet fighter.
Oh yeah,
and it was about the same scale. About the same size as this particular one.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a 1/9 scale. So, but it was huge by a model standards. But yeah, when it took off and they had it flying, you'd hear it do the normal jet sound as it was flying by. It was awesome.
All right, now we'll do the Geek Library.
Okay.
Shut up. This is my favorite part of the show. It's the Geek Library.
Nice. In the Geek Library, we'll start out with one of Craig's links.
Yes, over at ilovejackdaniels.com. He's done it once again. He has a bunch of cool cheat sheets up there, and this one is the regular expression cheat sheet.
Here's how to make a cheat look of sheet. Horror. Those kind of regular expressions?
No, not those. Not like sad and happy. It's more like regular expressions, you know, like wild cards and filtering, sorting, that kind of thing.
Oh, the kind of things you use in Unix programs for searching and replacing and whatnot.
Yeah, we're not talking about emoticons.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, this is one that I've got printed out and up on my wall because, you know, these are regular expressions. You can't remember all those things sometimes.
You remember about the 10 you use regularly.
Yeah. So it comes in handy. So I put that on the wall. He just released it. I got that. I've got the PHP one up there, but I don't really use that as much. CSS and the JavaScript one as well.
CSS, isn't that crime scene show?
No, you can also get that off of a toilet seat. Hey, speaking of CSI, did you hear about CSI Miami this week?
No.
I'm sorry, it just made me think about this. Was as they were filming an episode of CSI Miami, a dead body did wash up on the beach, and it wasn't part of the show.
Oh, hey, go figure that one out too while you're at it.
Yeah, imagine that the crime was not solved within the hour. Then
that's a lot like our show. Stuff just washes up. Hey, we got new material.
It'd be funny if a dead body. What? Whoa. Weekend at Bernie's.
It's all funny till someone gets hurt. Then it's hysterical.
Yeah. It just goes up from there.
All right. Bruce Barr has contributed a lot to the Geek Library, more than we can get through today. He includes a free TCP/IP guide, which is over at tcpipguide.com.
That's easy for you to say.
Not anymore. There's 18 tricks to teach your body how you can see better, hear better.
And I know it was a pain in the butt to get my son potty trained. That's one trick.
Douglas E. Welch sent us a link to a PSA, a public service announcement, called You Don't Need an iPod. This is a great video. It's actually linked eventually back to YouTube. But it's it does a great job of explaining that you don't need an iPod to listen to podcasts. And I thought it was a very creative way to do it. From Jimmy Jett's site, I got a link to geekculture.com, which points to a flash animation, a flash program of how to dress up Steve Jobs.
And it's, oh, by the...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, please.
It starts out at this screen that says a little balloon over a cartoon Steve Jobs, and he's wearing his, you know, traditional black mock turtleneck and blue jeans. He says, I've got a keynote to do, but I'm not sure what to wear. And his closet is nothing but those black mock turtlenecks and jeans. Then you click on the next link, and it's, you can put him in, you know, like a German World War II helmet and sandals and
a tutu.
The funny thing is, if you take his blue jeans off and drag them to the side, he's wearing like a leopard skin briefs. And if you try to remove those, there's tigers underneath them. If you try to remove that, it goes, uh-uh.
Hey, they haven't upgraded his underwear. It's a panther.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to mention earlier. You said everything it links back to YouTube. I was thinking, doesn't the internet link back to YouTube?
The whole thing does.
Yeah, everything does. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's all right. Just tons more good links in the Geek Library. One that I thought was particularly interesting is called Why Johnny Can't Code, and this points to Salon.com. And it states that not too long ago, all computers used to come with BASIC installed on them. So kids could sit down and literally start programming and get that joy of, you know, instant gratification.
Hey, and even the old IBMs, that was the default. If they had no operating system, it'd go to the ROM BASIC.
Or the Apples or Commodores. Mm-hmm. A lot of them did. And now they don't. I mean, I suppose you could say that if you installed Linux, you'd have a development environment. Hey, but
if you, with Windows, if you wanted BASIC, you're going to pay out the yin-yang to get Visual BASIC.
Right. And now it's an interesting article. C and C++ and Java aren't the kinds of languages you can just sit down and have that instant gratification of seeing something happen on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, I'm sorry, let me correct myself. I believe they may still be available. There was express versions of Visual Basic and Visual C and all that stuff too. So you could actually go download it for free.
With that,
but yeah, you're right. Without the machine by itself doesn't really come with a facility to start programming. So,
right, and you know, you could say that Linux comes with C, or you could go get PHP. But you know, the closest thing you're going to get to the instant gratification is HTML right now, where you can take a file and see it do something. It's not like the old 10 print hello, 20 go to 10 and watch it go. You know, that was cool.
That was
for
cool.
A first program, that was cool. I made the computer do something I told it to do.
That's right.
You know, that hooked a lot of kids on programming. But anyway, we're running out of time. We have to finish up.
Do we?
We do. We're approaching that 50-minute mark rapidly, and by the time we're done with our usual spiel on how to contact us, you can get a hold of us on the listener line. 206-222-CHAT, that's 2428. Email us, chuck@chuckchat.com, or Craig, K-R-E-G, @chuckchat.com. The website is the only constant in the universe. You can find that at www.chuckchat.com for all your forum, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more. Thank you. If you're not checking out the website or don't have a news aggregator, you're missing a whole bunch of stuff that Mad Marv has been putting in there, and he has just gone psycho on us and loaded all kinds of good things in there.
Psycho? I think he already was.
Is.
Yeah.
Doing an awesome job. Like 4, 5, 6 times a week, he's throwing things in there. I can't even keep up anymore. I'm trying, but it's difficult.
And like I mentioned in the last show, be sure to go set up a feed reader to read our regular feed, because not only does Marv got all those links in there, but I'm going to start throwing some stuff in there that will only show up on the feed, not even on the website.
Google Reader, Firefox, Thunderbird, lots of cool stuff you can use.
Firefox will.
Firefox has a news reader?
Oh, sort of.
Yeah, sort of. I prefer Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Anyway, this show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room provided by freenode.net. And if you're still getting this the old 1970s way by clicking on a link on the website. Oh, wait, there were no websites in 1970.
And that was hooking up the modem and downloading it.
Consider subscribing for free to get the show automatically delivered to you. Craig or I would be happy to assist you with that if you are in total state of confusion. If you're in any other state, get a license and drive to the state of confusion.
It's Wisconsin.
Please, 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 please tell a friend or two or ten. Depends if you're in what number system you're in. If you're in octal, 10 would be a lot. About Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
101!
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Night. Good night, John Boy.